Gemara is like this. Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, Achmei Yama, Harei Zebur. Okay? Harei Zebur. Rashi just says that he's, Bur means Garua Me'am Horetz. Over here, it means he's not only we can't trust him, but he's really a person that is devoid of any kind of perfection. Rabbi Yani Amar, Harei Zekusi. Kusi. What is Kusi? V'osu lecho pito v'yeno. Not allowed to eat his bread or his wine. The kivin shelo shimesh chachomim eino matbir al divrei chachomim ledatom v'lo shona ela laharas atzmo katamacha. Amazing thing. Similar to the first one. That even though a person who walks around is a bucky, he's a bucky mishnai, he's a bucky b'shas, but if he doesn't understand svara, the harei zekusi. Rabban Kotler's ourself. He used to get very angry in learning. He talked to his talmidim. So he used to call him names. I'm Oretz. One of the names he used to use, I never heard it. He used to call him, they really get angry. He says, Dibistakusi. Dibistakusi. I went, where did he get the idea of Kusi? From this Gemara. Kusi. He says, Kusi v'asa lechol pita v'yeno. The kibush l'ashim esh chachamim. He doesn't know Svara. So he says, so you can't, he's not makbid al dibur chachamim, l'datam, l'loshan l'haras asma katam l'chachamim. He has a lot of bikkias, but his bikkias doesn't mean anything. He just wants to demonstrate that he's a great Talmud Chacham. And he can't trust, he can't eat his bread. It's an amazing Gemara. Gemara goes further. Gemara says, Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Amar, Harei Zeh Mogush. Mogush. What's a Mogush? Gemara says, Shabbat. That's a little more than a Mogush. What is a Mogush? So he goes, Mogush, Machashev. Machashev. A person that performs sorcery, okay, magic, witchcraft. Ha'ochez esoinayim, v'gonev esalvavos. What do you think? Ochez esoinayim, v'gonev. It means that he's a mystic. He holds his eyes, they do certain mystical actions, you know, they look like they're in a trance, way off. And he's gonev esalvavos. And he captivates the hearts of the people. Interesting thing, yes? Vav Zeke. And this person's also that way. He's also the same type of person. Mistavro Kirav Acha Bar Yaakov. He says, the Gemara finally paskins like it says, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is right. Is right. He says, the Amri Inchi, people say, Ratin Megusha. Velo yoda mayoma. It says, "Tirgum chover chover umagush lo cheshem machashef es lachoshev ve'enem mevin mahen uma pirusham elakach maaseim shamachashvos bo al yedei osam alachoshev." He says that people say that the mogosh, the sorcerer, he does things and he doesn't know what he's doing. So Rashi says it means that he doesn't understand, he just says, this is, you do this and this, and this will occur. Results. So it's an amazing thing. I mean, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara is saying that a person that's devoid of svara is equal to a sorcerer. That's what it means. Is equal to a sorcerer. A person is devoid of svara because he doesn't see how things work. He doesn't understand the ideas of how things work. There's no link in his mind between effects, between results and causes. He doesn't understand the chain of events, he doesn't understand the ideas, so he's like a sorcerer. Because a sorcerer also is a person that doesn't have any kind of knowledge, but he says this will result if you do this and this. Do this and this, go home, do this and this, and everything will be fine. You see? That's sorcery. That's a mugger. That's a mugger. It means to say, if he's devoid of svara, what is his mentality? His mentality is the mentality of a machashev. Amazing. Okay. Anyways. Okay. Let's get back to the Rosh Aram. Why? Because the Rosh Aram, as I said, is the only one of the cases that the Rambam mentions that the Gemara we have Chazal on. In my opinion, I don't think... Beautiful Gemara. When you read a Gemara like this, you understand what the Rambam says in his introduction to Mishnayos. He says that when Chazal organized the Gemara, they put the Agadot in there, too. There were those who want to take the Agadot out of the Gemara. The Rambam says in Mishnayos that no, that there was a movement in the time of the Gaonim to take everything out of the Gemara except halacha. The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos that the fact that Chazal left our God in is for the greatest benefit, because it teaches a person perfection. So that's why they left it in. Because it's the greatest benefit is derived from Agada. Agada teaches the person perfection. A person with just no halacha, it's possible for him to be so far removed from, I'm talking about understanding halacha, to be so far removed from perfection, he wouldn't even approach it. So that's why Chazal left the Agada in. You can more like this, you see, opens up the key ideas. But Rosh Aharon, what is the definition? See, in my opinion, I say like this. I don't believe the Gemara is arguing. The Gemara gives all these cases of Rosh Aharon. I don't think the Gemara is a machlokas. It's not a machlokas. The Gemara says, Mara marhochi, amara marhochi velopri. Each one was giving a different manifestation. Not every time the Gemara quotes two people doesn't mean there's an argument. The Gemara says, Mara marhochi, amara marhochi velopri. Sometimes each one is introducing a different facet, looking at it from a different perspective, a different manifestation of the same thing. So over here also, when this Gemara defines a Rosh Aharon, all the different cases of Rosh Aharon, it's just different cases. But it's not a different concept. It's one idea. What is the universal definition of the Rosh Aharon? What is the Rosh Aharon? If we could define the Rosh Aharon, at least we'll have one case, and perhaps from that we'll be able to arrive at a definition of the other cases that the Rambam has. The other five terms. He has seven terms first. Then he has, under the seven, he has five other times. What is the definition of Rosh Aharon? So, the Rosh Aharon, it means like this. You see, what the Rambam says is that a person's tendencies towards evil could be expressed in different ways. What is the way of the Rosh Aharon? The way of the Rosh Aharon is like this. The Rosh Aharon, what does Aharon mean? Aharon means cunning. Vanochashoy Aharon mi kol chayas asada, asher asad Hashem alakim. Vayomar v'yisha, af ki yomar alakim lo socham mi kol eitz agon? What does the Nochash say to the Isha? Did God say you can't eat from any of the eitz agon? No, the Isha says, mi kol eitz agon nocha. Mi pri eitz av socham gana mashem lo socham. Why? Because the Armimus, the cleverness is to try to distort and to create. When the Nochash said, "Af ki amal akim lo socham mikol eitz agon," it was an innocent question, sort of. But the question was intended to project onto the Isha a certain feeling that God is unnecessarily restrictive. He wanted to convey that message in a cunning way. So what does it mean? It means like this. It means that there are certain people whose tendencies are towards evil. But they can't admit, they can't remove from themselves a certain self-image of righteousness. You see? They can't part with that self-image. In other words, they're incapable of really, it's a dishonesty. Armimus is a dishonesty. That's what it means. What does it mean? Dishonest. What does it mean, dishonest? It means that the person has to live with a certain mental image of themselves. And this is something which a person can't go without. Every person has to have a certain kind of an image. So this person has to have an image of a tzaddik, an image of a tzaddik, but really his emotions are completely trapped in rishis. Okay? So that's why you have all these expressions. That's why I have all these expressions. That's what it means. It means the person, a Rosh Aharon, is the individual that tries to do both. He maintains a psychological figure of himself as being righteous, but nevertheless, his emotions are tied to evil, so he's constantly searching out various ways to inconveniences of the perfection. So you have tittus. It's to get around it. So he can't openly go against it. That's the Rosh Aharon. So there are various expressions in Margot. Okay. Now, What is the Russia? What does the Rambam say the Russia is? What is the Russia Ra? The evil Russia. The evil Russia. So the Rambam really has, he has two brands, two types. One is the Russia Ra, and one is the Chacham Lahara. Chacham Lahara. What is Chacham Lahara? Let's take Chacham Lahara. What is Chacham Lahara? Chacham Lahara, this is what I think it is. If you have any ideas on it, speak up. But to me, it seems the Chacham Lahara is the opposite of the Rasha Aram. See, the Rasha Aram is the person who lives with the image of righteousness. That's the Rasha Aram. But his emotions are completely rooted in the instinctual. You see, that's the Rasha Aram. The Chacham Lahara is a person who is devoid of any kind of image of tzidkus.
The
Chacham Lahara. No, I'm talking about Chacham Lahara, not Rasha. Chacham Lahara. The Chacham Lahara is the person, he is wise to do evil. It means to say that he's devoid of any image. He's not restricted by an image of himself as a righteous person. After all, the Rasha Aram is, can't come out and open. I mean, he has to hide himself. There's certain subtle expressions of the Rasha Aram. But overtly, you won't find the Rasha Aram. The Chacham Lahara is different. He's a Chacham Lahara. He's not restricted by the self-image. He's a Chacham Lahara. It means to say that he uses all his intelligence to do evil. He's completely rooted in the instinctual, and his intellect is completely in the service of his evil emotions, and he will use tremendous Chachma to do any kind of evil. Okay? That's the Chacham Lahara. Unrestricted. Okay. What do you mean? The Chacham Lahara, I'm not talking about whether the Chacham Lahara does not think he's evil. He does not. Nobody thinks they're evil. Nobody. Weird. He's not restricted by the image, the fixed image of what is considered by the Torah as good. Okay? But he's got his own image. Of course he thinks he's right. There's no question about it. I'll give you reasons for his philosophy. There's no question about it. But we're talking reality. Reality is the Chacham Lahara. Okay? That's what the Chacham Lahara is. What is the Russia Ra? What is the evil Russia? The evil Russia? The evil Russia is different. Because the Rambam says about the evil Russia, he says that he is... first one is the Russia Aram. He says, the Indiya Russia mazik lebnei Adam. Ratzisi loma ashiyu meklap chisis midos in yonam shiyat zikul lebnei Adam ka'azas u ka'achzarius. Like arrogance and viciousness, he says. That's the Russia Ra. Okay? So what is the Russia Ra? The Russia Ra is an interesting thing. The Russia Ra means like this. It means what does it mean? He's Azus and what was the word? Azus and Achzarius. Azus and Achzarius. So what does it mean, Azus and Achzarius? What does it mean? It means he's driven. He's driven by the aggressive instinct. That's what it means. It means he's driven by the aggressive instinct. There's a difference, though, between the Chacham Lahara and between the Russia Ra. You see? Now already I think we could begin to understand what is the Rambam doing here. What's the Rambam doing here, basically? See? The Rambam over here, and here's where the answer starts to appear. You see, in the previous definitions, in the previous seven definitions of the Rambam, they were definitions based upon a functional process, a functional concept. There was a functional definition. In other words, the boor is devoid of any kind of fine character traits, any kind of knowledge. The Amoritz is the one that has fine character but lacks knowledge. The Golem is both, but they work on two separate tracks. The Chacham is an integrated personality. The Chassid is where he's driven by one thing, knowledge of God. These are functional definitions. I mean, by functional definitions, I mean it shows you where, in terms of the individual, where his energies lie. How his energies are dispersed. But now the Rambam approached it from a different point of view. What was he approaching? He was approaching it in terms of personalities, personality traits, character types. See, the Rambam over here, first he was discussing it in a framework, philosophical, abstract framework, how the person is his energies are being spent, are being expended, you see? That was the first definition. But now the Rambam approaches it from a different type of formulation, a different type of categorization. What's a different categorization? Personality types. Personality, it's interesting. Personality types. So the Rambam sets up five personality types. Five personality types. The first personality type, the Rambam says, is an individual who is very much tied to a self-image of what of righteousness. You see, Torah righteousness, a self-image. That's the first individual. But he's rooted in the instinctual. The second one, the Rambam says, is the aggressive personality. The aggressive personality. See, the first personality is really, you might say, a cowardly personality. Cowardly personality. Because he's really tied to the... He can't forfeit, he can't abandon the image of righteousness, and yet he wants to accomplish his instinctual goal. So he has to use armor, you see? The second one is a different personality type. It's the aggressive personality. He's dominated by aggression. It's a certain psychological personality. Okay? The third type of Russia, is the one who takes pride in intellectually bringing about results, you see, which are for strictly catered to the instinctual. That's a chacham lahara, a different kind of personality. His pride is in the, his self-pride is in the fact that he's able to use his intelligence to satisfy the instinctual. See, it's a chacham lahara, a different kind of personality type. Then what's...
Ego satisfaction is more than a...
Yes, it's an ego satisfaction with the fact that he utilizes his chachma to accomplish his devious goals. That's the chacham lahara. The next one is the Yishu Alakim. What is the Yishu Alakim? The Yishu Alakim is the person, that's why he says it's very rare, philosophers say, it's very rare that you should have such a phenomenon. What is the phenomenon? That the person by nature is good. He doesn't have to overcome anything. By nature he's driven, he has a good personality. He loves to be mahana b'nei adam. He enjoys being a benefactor. He has good midos b'teva. And also he has a great intellect, a great mind. If I were permitted to say who I think such an individual would be in our door, I would say Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Levracha. He represented the Yishu Alakim. Person that was very rare combination, total perfection in midos and perfection in chachma, perfection in chachma. So this is a very rare combination. But he was that kind of a person. It's interesting, but Sigmund Freud wrote a paper on someone called Joseph Papalinkus, and he was a physicist, I believe. And he said that he never saw such a personality, because he was a person that did good naturally. Person has to overcome certain obstacles in order to do good. But there are some people that by nature, very rare, that's what the Rambam says, the philosophers already said, it's a very rare phenomena that such a human being should exist. But it's possible. Since it's possible, they gave a term for it. So the term is the Ish Holokin. The Ish Holokin. Okay? So both the areas. The Chachma, the area of Chachma, perfected as an intellect, and perfected as a personality. It's a rare combination. Then he says, of course, on the other side of the coin, you have the other rare combination, where a person is a complete vicious chaya. Complete vicious chaya. It means, you see, in our society, I don't know if it's so rare anymore. Yeah. But it's true. It's unfortunately sad, but true. I mean, people that are absolutely a dove shuckle. I mean, you see the things that they do, and it's like inhuman. It's hard to imagine the type of life. That's the life of the dove shuckle. That's what Rambam says. Totally devoid of any kind of human perfection. the lowest form of human life. Dov Shekel. Okay. That's it? So really, what? Rasha LaRaw is where the person has intellectual qualities. But a person has intellect, it's a different kind of phenomenon. It's a different kind of phenomenon. You know, it's an interesting thing. Which one is worse? Which one is worse? The truth of the matter is, the worst of them all is who? It's Chacham LaRa, I think. Chacham LaRa. I mean, the Rosh Aaron is not going to do too much damage, really. What's the Rosh Aaron going to do? So, some people will think that he's a tzaddik. He's not a tzaddik. All right, so who cares? But the Chacham LaRa, the aggressive personality, of course, is harmful to society. But the Chacham LaRa is worse. In my opinion, I think Chacham LaRa is worse. Because the Chacham LaRa means that is, there's nothing that... See, the aggressive personality is driven by one motivation, aggression. The Chacham LaRa is more free and universal, freewheeling. It's more of a freewheeling personality, because any type of evil can come his way, as long as he'll work it out. Yeah, yeah. So and the Dov Shekel is a horrible thing to encounter, a Dov Shekel. That's what the Shlomo Melech says, the Pasuk Mishlei says, I'd rather meet a Dov Shekel. The Dov Shekel, Mishnah says, I'd rather meet a Dov Shekel than a fool in the day of his folly. Shlomo Melech says. Interesting. Why? That's for different reasons. Because he says, because a Dov Shekel is predictable, but a fool is unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen. So Mishlei is using it as a stepping ladder for the fool. But the truth of the matter is that the Dov Shekel, the encounter with the Dov Shekel is probably the most horrifying. Because it means, I mean, people that have had encounters, I mean, even in newspapers with such individuals that are completely devoid of any kind of human traits. I mean, no intellect, no midas. It's a vicious chaya, a vicious animal. It's the most frightening experience to encounter an individual like that. Nevertheless, it's not the most harmful to society in general, at large. Sometimes the people that are less frightening to encounter are really the most monstrous, the most dangerous. People weren't afraid to go meet with Hitler, Yimach Shemo Zichro, and people would be afraid to meet with a lowlifer who's a vicious killer and who doesn't have any semblance of humanity. People would be afraid to meet with such a person. They weren't afraid to meet with a Hitler or the Saddam Hussein, you see. But but these people are capable of more, definitely of greater harm to humanity than the Dov Shekel. So the truth of the matter is that in terms of, you can't really answer the question. You can't really answer the question as to who is worse. It's different. If you're asking who's worse, you have to have different frameworks that you're going to measure it by. Who is worse in terms of the most subhuman? I mean, well, it depends what you mean by subhuman. If you mean by subhuman devoid of all human characteristics, of course, the Dov Shekel. But if you mean the one that could be the most evil, the most monstrous, it's the Chacham LaRa. Chacham LaRa. I think personally, an individual, I mean, this is my pshat. But I think that it's possible also for a person to partake of all. But I don't think it's necessarily mutually exclusive. A person could be a Dov Shekel, and he could be a Chacham LaRa, and he could be a Rosh Ra, and he could be a Rosh Aram, all in one. I mean, a Hitler. What was a Hitler Yimach Shemo? What was he? My opinion, he was all of them, vicious, except he was all of them. He even was, in a sense, the Rosh Aaron, because he held up a certain semblance, he tried to hold a certain semblance of righteousness. I mean, how is the word even? I mean, in a sense, politically, he tried to do that. So he was all of them, every one of them. Okay. All right, we'll stop. Interesting is that.
No, wait, now you're on.
Interesting from this Rambam is one thing. interesting from this Rambam, what do you see from this whole Rambam? Interesting from the Rambam is the philosophy of Yadus. They see the Yadus maintains that in order to understand, this is Pirkei Avos, where you're supposed to learn about perfection. But Yadus holds, in order to understand perfection, you have to be able to understand all areas of evil as well. All areas of, you have to understand, the person has to understand Rishus. In order to understand Tzidkus, you must understand Rishus. That's why you have in Pirkei Avos, which is supposed to teach the person the finest midos of perfection. It demands that he understands what ultimate gross evil is. If you don't understand it, then you're going to lack in what the good is. You can't understand it's dove or refucha. You have to have both sides. If it's North Carolina. Yesterday's parsha. Sometimes a pasuk in the Torah which shows the philosophy of Yadus. The pasuk says Kisira Chamor Sonafa Rovetz Tachas Maso'o. That's in Mishpatim. Yesterday, Sergei. The Chodalto Neazovlo Ozov Tazovimo. Okay. What? So the pasuk means you'll see the donkey of your enemy. Rovetz tachas maso, so the donkey's overburdened and he can't go. So the chadalta me'azovlo, you refrain from assisting him. Azov tazovimo. So it's a funny pasuk. What do you mean the chadalta me'azovlo? You refrain, and then it says azov tazov. So Rashi says Lashon Bitniya. Okay. But I was thinking of another pshat. The Chodalka Me'azov Lo is really a description of human nature. It means to say, and it shows you part of the philosophy and psychology of Torah. Then the Chodalka Me'azov Lo means, no, that's the natural response. Natural response is a chadalta me'azovlo. That's the way human nature is. But the mitzvah is ozov tazov imo, to overcome that emotion. And Tirgum Unkelos learns that shot. Okay? So the reisechaze chamora desanoch reviot chos toane v'sistimna milu mishbagle. You refrain from helping him. So he says, Mishbak Tishbok Ma Divalibach Alohi Usafarat Ime. You should leave that which is in your heart about him, concerning him, and you should help him. In this pasuk, you really see the sort of the approach, the psychology of Yadus. That Yadus doesn't deny a person's emotions. Yadus doesn't deny a person. Goyim deny a person's emotions. Goyim try to obliterate the emotion from a person's nature, which is an impossible task. Impossible task. Yadus tells you, no, there's an emotion, you're going to have this emotion, it's a natural thing. He's your enemy, you dislike him. Personal reasons, you hate him, you don't like him. So naturally, because the process chamor sonacha. Sonacha means he's a personal, it doesn't mean a real sona. Real sona means if he's a sona Yisrael, then there's another person I'm talking about. Talking about him personally, you don't like him personally. So you don't like him personally, the natural human reaction is that you don't want to help him. You don't want to help him. You dislike him. You see he's going under, so you might even be happy about it. No, ozov tazov imo. You should overcome that emotion. That's Yadus. You should recognize the emotion and overcome it. Not to deny the emotion. That's a tremendously important yesod in Yadus. Tremendously important. The situation in those days, the same thing is if a person saw an individual's car was broken down the highway. That's the same thing. That's the same situation. Yeah. Of a pig in the Hamor. Because the Hamor played a central role in the life of the people. So that's why it's only behemoth tomato, you have pidyon by. So that's what it means. It was broken down, and it means he can't travel. He's unable to travel. The same thing in today's society with a person's car broke down. So ozov tazov hima. That's the law. Unfortunately, I would say that one of the biggest detriments to a person's perfection is the fact in our society is the fact that we're raised with such a type of way of thinking, which we acquired from the goyim. And unfortunately, that's something which is, it's a difficult thing because it poses as a type of perfection, presents itself as a type of perfection to the human mind that I even deny. No, on the contrary, I don't even have that emotion. I don't even want to admit that I have such an emotion. So it presents itself in disguise as a type of perfection. But really, it's the most detrimental attitude. And Yadus recognize it as the most dangerous attitude. And if you see by the Goyim what happened to them with all their denial, you see how they performed the worst Ritzicha, the worst evil was performed by the Goyim because of the fact that they had the ability to deny their emotions, It's something which is very tempting, you know. Chazal says by when Yaakov was wrestling with the Malach. Chazal say, Kidmus Tamid Chacham Nirala. Kidmus Tamid Chacham Nirala. If this Malach appeared like a Tamid Chacham, had the appearance of a Tamid Chacham. So what does it mean? It means that the Yetzer Hara doesn't always appear as an evil kind of force. People expect that. People are looking out for the Yetzer Hara that appears as an evil kind of force. But sometimes it's Kidmus Tamid Chacham Nirala. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara appears as an appearance, as a veil of religiosity. Veil of religiosity. And that is the most dangerous. That's the most dangerous Yetzer Hara. That's why the Pasuk says that V'chadalta me'azov lo doesn't say to deny it. It doesn't say to deny this emotion. No, you should recognize the emotion. But he says, Mishbak tishbok ma divaliba haloi. You should leave that emotion. This is in your heart. But leave that emotion and act in accordance with justice. In accordance with objective righteousness. Objective righteousness. True righteousness. That's the pasuk in the Torah. It's an important pasuk. Part of Mishpatim was the first thing that was given after Matan Torah. So you see, it's an important yourself. It's a big ma'akev, insofar as tshuva is concerned. Biggest ma'akev in tshuva is where a person can't be makir, doesn't want to be makir. Akaras achet, first step. Akaras achet is the very first step. If there's no akaras achet, so there's no tshuva. And why doesn't a person have a karas achet? Because he denies his emotions. He denies his emotions. It's the whole philosophy of the Goyim, whole philosophy of Christianity, based on this kind of an approach. And it's the most detrimental kind of thing. We suffer from it because we're raised in that kind of a society. Against the others. That's the gullus. The gullus took us away from our true ideas. Okay. Yes. The Torah is not concerned with getting this person off the road. I mean, to get him in a situation where he can get back on the road. I mean, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to improve, to perfect an individual. How do you perfect an individual? The only way to perfect them is when he creates a supremacy of chokhma, of knowledge over his base emotions. That's perfection. If he doesn't recognize the emotion, there's no perfection at all. That's not perfection. He just doesn't recognize the emotions. What kind of perfection is that? Perfection means when you recognize the emotion, you give it its proper appreciation and recognition, and then in spite of it, you go ahead against the emotion and you do exactly what the objective justice demands. That's perfection. The person denies it, it's true, we'll do the same action. But the Torah isn't concerned simply about getting this person on the road again. The person is not just a miser. The whole, this is a mitzvah of perfection. This is the mitzvah of perfection. The moment a person denies an emotion of his, it means that that emotion is capable of expressing itself in other areas without his knowledge. That's like the Gayim. I mean, that's like I said, like the Gayim. They deny the fact that they have any hatred towards anybody, because they maintain that they're the religion of love, and because of that, they're able to viciously massacre people without any sense of any compunction whatsoever, because they were capable of denying the fact that they're doing it because of their base emotions. It's the same thing with the it started with the Goyim, and the climax of that was Nazi Germany. Was Nazi Germany. That was the climax of that. That was the ability beyond even human imagination to carry through that approach. The truth of the matter is that Nazi Germany was based on Christianity. If it wasn't for Christianity, I don't think you could have had a Nazi Germany. That mentality of the Nazi didn't just come about instantaneously. It came about through a long process of years, generations, and centuries of denial of man's nature. That's what it was based on. If it wasn't for that, they could not have had it. That's the destructive philosophy. Most destructive philosophy. The Goyim Christians did it on a small scale, crusades and countless other occasions. But the Nazis, Nazis brought it to a point. I mean, like I said, it's beyond belief. But it was based upon the same approach. Person's ability to deny the richness that exists in his nature. That's the premise. That was all from the Nazis walking around like that, as if they were respectable people.
They're doing good.
Yeah, scientific, respectable people. Yeah. The Torah, by giving mitzvot, like Ram says, mitzvot, the rice of the Rabbanon, is a means of causing a person to recognize that he's off the path if it bothers him. If a person has trouble with a mitzvah, it's a very important symptom. It means a person has trouble doing a mitzvah. The purpose of the mitzvah is to put a person into the proper track. So that means if a mitzvah is difficult for a person, it means that he has to examine his psyche. There's something wrong with him. Mitzvah should not be difficult. A mitzvah is a burden. He can't do it. If this mitzvah bothers him, it's a sign that he has to investigate his nature. There's no mitzvah in the Torah that should be a burden to an individual. A person should feel it's difficult. I don't like this mitzvah. This mitzvah bothers me. The person has that feeling, that means that he has to examine his nature. There's something wrong. It's a symptom. God created a system. That's what the Rambam means. That God created a system in which a person will be on the proper channel, will be in the golden mean. Means to say that if there's a mitzvah, the Torah is a fantastic system. Because it's diagnostic. It's a diagnostic system. If a mitzvah disturbs you, then there's something detrimentally wrong. And you have to look into it. If you don't look into it, you're simply avoiding perfection. That's what the Rambam means. Mitzvahs were created in that way. If there is no mitzvah in the Torah that is difficult for a person, that should be difficult for a person who's perfected in terms of the psyche. In terms of the psyche. I'm not talking about philosophically, just in terms of the psyche. No mitzvah in the Torah. I'm glad you mentioned this point. It's a very important point. It means like this. It means to say, that's what Rabbi Kiva meant, v'afterecha kamocha zeklad al latara. Zeklad al latara, and that's what Hill told the guy, and he wasn't saying it facetiously, he meant it, that the essence of the Torah is v'afterecha kamocha. It means to say, the most powerful emotion that a person lives with is the emotion of the fact, the emotion concerning the fact that he is a special kind of individual, and that all his friends consist of those people who share his psychological makeup. In other words, cliques, friends, personal, this is my group. And there's another person whose personality is not similar. You know, right away, the people will find lists. Of course, they'll justify it by lists of faults that these other people have. But basically, it's an egocentric concept. The friends that a person have are really extension of his ego. Why? Because he can't be alone. I mean, alone, he knows it's great. The sugar is the only one in the world. Nobody else is worthy of communicating with him. I mean, that everybody recognizes as impossible. And besides, he needs friends. So he takes friends that are similar to him psychologically, or that appeal to him psychologically, I should say, appeal to him psychologically, and these are his cronies. And the people who aren't in that group are considered enemies, and are considered worthless. And he therefore favors his friends, and he shows disfavor towards those who are not in that clique, not in that group. That whole system, of course, is a system of society, the basic sociological reality. But the fact is that reality, which is so powerful, the most powerful force, is really connected to Torah. As the Torah demands that a person should look at individuals with only one barometer. What's the barometer? Barometer is Shmiras HaTorah. Shmiras HaTorah, that's the barometer. If a person is a Shomer Torah mitzvah, you have to love him as much as you love your best friend, even though psychologically you dislike him, you don't like his personality, he said this to me, he said that, all these nonsense kind of things. Nonsense things. See? The Torah demands that a person abandon this kind of psychological framework. And it's the most difficult thing, because it's true. What you said is right. Because it has to do with the ego. Because if a person takes pride essentially in the self, what is the self? The self is really, how do you distinguish yourself between, how do you distinguish one person from another person? Psychological makeup. His likes, in short, it's like Shlomo HaMelech says. When Shlomo HaMelech says about the Mason, he says, the generation died, he says, Gam Avosom, Gam Sin Osom, Kvar Avaro. Their hates, their dislikes, their likes and their dislikes are gone. What does it mean? It means their whole identity. Because how does a person identify himself? He identifies himself in terms of his likes and dislikes. You'll see people will say, you will talk about anything, talk about music. This music is great. Say, hey, you like that? How do you pass away? Or food, or anything which people like, they consider what they like is objective reality. And anyone that dislikes that has to be crazy. You see? So why is that so? Why is that? Because the self is identified as that part of the human psyche which has likes and dislikes. Because that's me. What am I? How am I unique? How am I different than anybody else? Because I like it. So I have a sum total of my likes and my dislikes. That's me. That's my essence. So therefore, those who partake of that kind of an essence are living in reality. Those who don't partake of that essence are crazy. You see? But the Yadis demands that a person rise up, even though it's a very strong identification. What's identification? Identification is the source of all friendship. Why is identification? Because people who see that they have similar likes and dislikes, they identify with each other. And it forms a powerful bond. This kind of a love, though, is nothing more than an extension of the love of the self. You understand? It's only an extension of the love of the self. Yadis demands that a person rise above that level. And he recognizes that the essence of a person is a metaphysical essence. Metaphysical essence. It's not a psychological essence. It's a metaphysical essence. Where's the metaphysical essence expressed? It's expressed in the system of Torah. Those who keep the Torah, you are obligated to have only love for. What kind of a love? V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha. Whether personally he's in your frame of reference or he's not in your frame of reference makes absolutely no difference. And conversely, a person who's your best friend, if he's in violation of the system, is mitzvah la'abdo l'sono. Mitzvah la'abdo l'sono. So what kind of a sin is it? A different kind of a sin. It's not a sin, it's not a personal sin. This is essential. The sociological element really involves the very essence of a perception of what metaphysical reality is. That's where it lies. If a person can't get along being odom l'chavero, there's something detrimental in his being odom l'makom. Has to be that way. Something very wrong there. Something very wrong in terms of his perception. Yes. Even if he's not a shomer halacha, the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, get a Rambam over there. Listen. Right, of course. Rabbi's right. By Nakama, Lasikim Velasitor. Lasikim Velasitor. The same thing. The same thing. But it's expressed on the other. It's expressed in another facet, another expression. I tell you something, person. If you want to see, you could see from this pasuk and from in Kedoshim that the only way really to have a society in which there's shalom is only if people partake of this principle. It's impossible to have shalom in a society unless you partake of this principle. If you don't partake of this principle, there cannot be shalom. It's absolutely impossible. There can be degrees of tolerance, but not shalom. See? Shalom is only possible. You could see just from these mitzvahs, you can see the ingenuity of Torah. The Torah gave us a system in which it hit right on the head the precise formula that's absolutely necessary in order to have a society where there's true shalom. It's based upon one thing. It's based upon a removal of the whole idea of shalom based upon identification due to psychological makeup, and it's an establishment of a new kind of identification, which is based upon the keeping of the Torah mitzvahs. That's what it is. As long as you don't have that principle, it's impossible to have any concept of peace. Absolutely impossible. Absolutely impossible. That's because identification is too powerful. It's too powerful an emotion, and that's the identification based on some kind of properties. What are the properties? The properties are one thing: commitment to Allah. That's what it is. Torah, you could see the godless of Torah just from this alone. Take a look at Parshas Kedoshim. Osikim v'lasitor, all those mitzvahs. It's unbelievable. When you read that Parsha, you see every emotion is addressed. And the only way to really create a society, which is a great society, which is a society that lives in harmony, in true harmony, is only through those mitzvahs. Every emotion over there is touched upon. And if you don't correct those emotions, impossible. That is the formula and the only possible formula for a good. He says a person that's ain't a moda, perk shlishi, person that's not moda in Torah about per, bechlal apikursin. Okay. The first expression of kfir is always in Torah Shabbat. That's the first step. Kitzadok abaisas v'chein kol ator machra. But the Rambam says, now what does this mean? It means the Rambam says, avol b'nei atoim ha'ela, the children of these people who were originally mistaken, the Rambam says, u'b'nei b'neihem, and their grandchildren, sheidichu osam avosam, that their parents pushed them away from Torah, the noldu bein akaroyim, they were born to the karoyim. The gidlu osam al daitam, and they raised them with their ideas, which are against Torah. Harehu ketinok shenish b'beneya. He's like a tinok that was captured. He says, the gidlu vein azor is lechos bedarke hamitzvah sharehu ka'onos. Va'afo pisha shama achakach shen yehudi. Even though I heard he's a Jew. V'roa yehudim v'dasam. And he saw Jews, and he saw the halacha. This person is considered an honest because he was raised with mistaken notions concerning Yadus. He says, that's what it is. I'm differentiating. So you have to have, a person has to have identity, certainly with a Jew that's Shema Torah Mitzvahs. But even with a Jew that's not Shema Torah Mitzvahs, if the reason that he's not Shema Torah Mitzvahs is why? is because he was raised with wrong notions, wrong ideas, by people who had wrong concepts, and their children and their grandchildren. Even though later this person sees there's such a thing as a Jew, and he sees there's a halachic system, he still is not culpable. He's still not considered to be blamed. Why? Because he was a person's early upbringing had a tremendous effect on him, and he can't extricate himself from it. So you can't blame such an individual. You can't blame such a person. And you're mechuyif to merachem on him, and you're mechuyif to show kindness to him and try to draw him with darkei shalom towards the true ideas. That's the halacha. That's the halacha. Only an individual who proclaims his disbelief of Torah based upon his false notions and his own arrogance, following his daito akala, that person's considered a rasha. That person considered true Russia. There is no identification. There is no identification. He's Mechlala Pekusim, and he's subject to serious effects. But that is not because of a personal hatred towards him, but on the contrary, that's because of a love of Klal Yisrael. That's the reason. Okay. People don't consider these crimes too serious. Because most people really feel that the main thing is physical well-being and what they consider happiness. I mean, but if a person has an appreciation of what MS is and what the value of MS, he has to have a hatred towards someone who takes away the opportunity from such an individual. You have to have a feeling of hatred towards someone. It's not a personal hatred. It's a hatred towards evil. So therefore, I mean, that's what I mean. Moshe Feinstein was a god lador, and a god lador is a different kind of view than a yachid. Yachid is a small parameter, small view. A gadol sees the klal. Responsibility of the klal is on his shoulders, and because of that, he thinks in terms of the klal. Very few people really think in terms of the klal. People think in terms of themselves, individuals. But a gadol thinks in terms of the klal. The klal is on his shoulders. It's a burden. He's constantly concerned about it. It's Moshe Rabbeinu. As far as pasuk say, "Anochi Arisias Omer Zem, Anochi Matu Kisama Laisa Eyu V'Chaykecha Kasher Yisa Omer Yaseyonek." That's a real gadol. That's a gadol. A gadol is a person that feels a responsibility and a compassion for the klal. And when he sees a destructive force in the klal, it irritates him. It causes him to be angry. It's an anger that stems from the godless Adam. It's an anger that stems from the godless Adam, which most people can't appreciate. Can't appreciate that. Moshe was a godly Yisrael, and he sensed that. That's why he was so angry about the conservative rabbi. Yes. There aren't too many real apocryphal, genuine apocryphal. Aren't too many. Well, no, you're right. The same thing is true if a person is raised in a house where Torah is not presented properly, and because of that, he develops a sin of a Torah. It's not his fault. The more we understand the Torah, even about something like the Shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu, it perfects us. We're not in the situation of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're not on that level. But nevertheless, it's Sula Mutzav Arzav or Rosh HaMegesh HaMaimah. I mean, we benefit from the knowledge. That's why the Torah told us all these incidents. Even though we're not on that level, there's some correction that takes place in our mind. Some change that takes place in our mind when we understand as much as we can of the story of the individual, stories of the individuals in the Torah, of Moshe Rabbeinu. So, the basic question is, I would say, with regard to the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's Shlichus, is the first sequence of events that you have here. All right? Take a look. It says in Shemos, so first of all, it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu first engaged Moshe Rabbeinu with regard to the snap. So what he did was Vayasta Moshe Panav. And then with the snare, with the incident of the snare, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, instructs Moshe to go and to be a shaliach, to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, turned down the shlichus several times. He turned down the shlichus. Mi anochi kelech al paro, and then God answered him. Wasn't enough. He kept on asking. Questions, and Chazal say was over a period of 7 days. Chazal say the pasuk says, "Vayom Hashem bi Hashem lo ishdvam anochi." That's Dalad Yud. Gam mitzmol, gam mishulsham, gam me'oz dabercha alavdecha. The pasuk says openly, how many days? 3. But Chazal and it was 7. Okay. But anyway, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu tried his best to get out of the shlichus. Somebody mentioned to me, made a good joke. Like I said, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Kadosh Baruch Hu was writing Ksarim on the Osios. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, "Mi ma'akev al yadcha? Who's preventing you from giving the Torah? Why do you have to write this Ksarim for? The Torah is perfected, and that's it. Give it already. What are you writing this Ksarim for? Who's ma'akev you from giving the Torah now?" So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, he says, there's going to be somebody, Lesofa Doros, and after many generations, and his name is Akiva, and he's going to be dashing these ksarim, what these ksarim mean, what every kesa stands for. So, Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, can I see him? I think, right? So God showed him Rabbi Akiva, and he couldn't understand what he was learning. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, he says, "Yesh lecha adam kazeh? You have a person like this, and you give the Torah through me?" So Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "Gzerim afanai." But it's an interesting medrash. What does the medrash say? The medrash says that the it meant that HaKadosh, I mean, it meant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu perfected the theoretics of the Torah to such a degree. Why to such a degree? I mean, he perfected the theoretics of the Torah to such a degree because of a Rabbi Akiva. So you see another thing from this. It's an interesting thing. You see that, what did Moshe Rabbeinu ask God? He says, "Yesh lecha adam kazeh, you have a person like this, so why don't you give the Torah through him instead of through me?" I give a simple answer. It's very simple. Plus, he didn't exist till Sefer Deris. Right? He didn't exist till Sefer Deris. That's why I couldn't give it. Wasn't the right time to give the Torah was Tzias Mitzrayim, not in the time of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, what's the answer? The answer is that the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu existed in that time was an act of Hashgach. Have you got a Rambam in the first level of the Rambam? You can't get me a Rambam, first level. First Rambam. In Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, he says, She'osa Moshe. You see, it was an act of Hashgach. That's how Moshe Ben Kasha was a good Kasha. Umeavas Hashem Osanu, it's a Perek Aleph of Avodas Kochavim. Umishomras Hashvua La'avram Avinu, Osa Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shekol Anavinu V'Shulcha. It wasn't just. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the most perfected of the human species that would exist, and he caused him to exist in that time. That's what it means. That's what the pasuk means. Vatero so kitovu. This malaya bias ora. All the it meant to say that it means it was Ashgach. It means it was Ashgach that he should exist at that time. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is God. The Ashgach of the Reish existed at that time, so we could have taken Rabbi Akiva. So somebody mentioned, it said, how come Rabbi Akiva was deeper in halacha? I said, because Moshe Rabbeinu was so busy with the shlichus. That's why I turned it down. He's too busy. Okay. At any rate, so first he turned it down. Then it says like this. Then it says that okay, so he objected, finally accepted. Then it says like this. It says, interesting thing. right after that it says Vayelch Moshe Yeshu Yeshu Chosno, so he went back. Elchon Avashu Alach Hashem Mitzrayim Vayem Hashem Moshe Minyan Leich Shem Mitzrayim Kimeisa Kol Moshe Mivakshem Snafshach Vigach Moshe Yeshu Vez Bonov Vayakivei Malach Hamor Vayoshev Asa Mitzrayim. Okay, next Pasuk Vayem Vayem Hashem Moshe Balach Kol Moshe Mitzrayim Reikol Moshe Santam Vayedecho. You should do them in front of Pharaoh. Okay, and in the same thing HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him before. He said to him before. Vaniyat in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yates. He says, Pasuk Yates. He told him, you should tell what you do is like this. You should go to Melech Mitzrayim and you say, Hashem Elokei Ivrim Mikra Aleinu. Vata Nechon Adech Shla Hashem Amidbo. We have to go 3 days in the desert. The Nizbuch Hashem Elokeinu. And what did God say though? He's not going to let you go. Paro is not going to let you go. I'm telling you. V'lo b'yod chazakim. Unless, until he gets all the nisim, he gets smitten with the nisim, then he'll let you go. But he's not going to let you go. He's not going to let you go. Okay. So then, v'shalach tes yodavi kesias m'sayim b'chol niflos hasher esa b'kib rachlech hain yishalach. I got it? Okay. Then again over here he says... He told him, he says, Balech Tachol Lashem Shem Re'ei Kol Amav Shem V'Dechol Sassil V'Far V'Ni Chazik Zlibo V'Lo Yishal Hazan. Okay. V'amato Paro Kol Amar Hashem B'ni B'chor Yisrael V'omar Elach Hashalachas B'ni V'yavdeini V'atmoin L'shalachol Yinei Anochi Horek Es Bincho B'chorecha. Okay, Yinei Anochi Horek Es Bincho B'chorecha. Yep. It's a reference to Marcus B'choros. Marcus B'choros. Okay. Then you have a strange thing. Next passage. V'hi V'derech B'malon. What is this? Sudden transition. He has the shlichus already. Next thing you know, he's on the molon, and God wants to kill him. Okay, so I'm not going to go into the... And she cut off the oil of Eliezer, and Vatagal Laragla of Shal Moshe, and that was it. Okay, Chasan Domim, Chasan Dom Amulos. I'm not going to go into the whole parsha. But what's the connection? It's the connection. Well, what's the answer? Well, the answer is like this. The answer is, the Gemara Chazal say, what does it mean he didn't do mitzvah smila? Chas v'sholom that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't perform mitzvah smila. But since he was on the derech, he wasn't supposed to perform, was a Kabbalah, was a Mesorah b'yodam, the Ibn Ezra says, that they didn't do mila when they were on the derech, because sakana. That's what they held, it was a sakana. It was a Mesorah, there's a sakana, do it on the derech.
Oh, what do you so,
So anyway, so it was until he came. So what happened was when he came to the Malon, instead of doing Mila right away when he stopped, but it was Nisasek b'Malon Tchila, Nisrashel, because it was Nisasek b'Malon Tchila. So first, let me get the place to stay, and then I'll do the Mila. So with Nisrashel. So what does that have to do with this? I would just say this much. You know, I mean, you're talking about. We can't talk about the chet of Moshe Rabbeinu, you understand me? But the one thing I would say is like this, without saying too much, say that what is Mila really? Mila was the bris of Ram. Bris of Ram. Mila is the bris of Ram. I mean, that's the essence of Yadas, of Yehudi, is a mole. Mila is the only mitzvah saseh, which you chayev kares on, besides Pesach, but that's also of course the same thing. Okay, so Mila is really the bris of Ram. What was mechayev Moshe Rabbeinu in the shlichus? The bris of Ram. Bris of Ram was the mechayev. The bris of Ram was the mechayev. So when Moshe Rabbeinu argued with HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days, so there was no chiyuv misa. He argued, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had patience with him, and he answered his kashas and he convinced him. But when he was in Nisrashel Bevris Avram, then he was chiyuv misa. I'm saying is that the Machayev, when he was Nisrashel in the Machayev of the Shlichus, then he was Chayev Nisim. That's the continuity. Okay. Let's get back to the what I want to take up is like this. That what happened was like this. So what happened was, as you know, so Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro, and Paro got even more angry. Right? The fact he did not want to go on the mission, because he didn't want to go on the mission, he had a certain type, it affected his relationship to the machayev of the mission, which was mitzvah smila, which was bris avram. Because the bris avram was that which was machayev, was the machayev. And because of the fact that he did not want to go on the mission, it caused some kind of change in attitude insofar as the machayev is concerned. And that's why it was Nisrasha. Insofar as the machayev, you understand what I mean?
You're saying it's not random that this mitzvah he had a mitzvah.
Exactly. But this mitzvah, which was his machayev, which he didn't want, you see, because of the fact that what was the machayev? The whole machayev was So the machayev is okay. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. That was the machayev. Avram, you understand? We always say Yitzchak and Yaakov are not like Avram, not in the same part. The Baruch Hashem, Magen Avram, B'chol Chosmi. Avram, Bris Mila. Avram was the one that founded the whole Ummah. So he was the founder of the Ummah. The Ummah was based on the idea of recognition, the true recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Mitzvah Smila was the mitzvah that represented the whole Ummah. Mitzvah Smila is the mitzvah that represents the whole Ummah. The whole Bris Avram is Mila. So what I'm saying is that because of the fact that he didn't want to go on his mission, you see, he didn't want to go on his shlichus. And the machayev of the shlichus was really the bris avram. You see, it was really the bris avram. So it resulted in the fact that he was nisrashel b'mitzvah. It was nisrashel insofar as that mitzvah which was the machayev is concerned. Then he was chayev misa. Arguing, he wasn't chayev misa. That apparently is no criticism. The fact that he argued. But that it had an effect on his relationship to the bris avram, you see. Then vayvakash misa, this chayev misa. Kagala raglov. Kagala raglov, and then he recognized it. That's what saved him. Wouldn't it for that? It would be no shlichus of Moshe there. Yeah. It means to say, what it means to say, look at it, it means to say that insofar as a person's understanding, he doesn't understand something, he could argue, that's no problem. But if it effectuates a change insofar as his Maisa Mitzvah is concerned, that is no shlichus. Then he's chayav misa. Nisrashel shows there's some kind of resistance. There's some kind of Nisrashel. What is Nisrashel? Why is a person Nisrashel? He's Nisatzel b'mitzvah. What does it mean? It means there's some kind of resistance to it. I'm explaining to you what the resistance was. Resistance was that was exactly what was before. The Machayev. Okay? Paro made it worse. Paro said, why are you disturbing this from their work? And he says, no, he says, now it's going to be worse. He says, they want to go on a trip, they want to go on a vacation for 3 days. Okay? So, he made it harder. What did he do? He made it harder. He made them go gather straw. So then, you see, Vayuku Shotre Yibnei Yisrael, or someone in Noxe Faro Emar. Okay, so you know the whole story there. Nirpim atam nirpim. Okay, so then it says that the Shotrei Bnei Yisrael, when they saw Moshe and Aaron, so they were angry at them. So Yera Hashem Aleichem Yishpot. Hashem Ashtem Asrechenu Bnei Farav Bnei Avod Losachav Yedom Largena. So it was more than just an increase in the work. It was really a diminution in their own personal stature. Because the person's an artisan. He doesn't mind doing certain things. But you tell an artisan to go around, scatter around, and pick up straw all over the land. It means he reduces stature. He can't have any pride in himself as being an individual that has some kind of special talent. You see, so it was more than just an increase in words. Okay, so then it says, Yeshem Moshe Shema Yama. Hashem, Lama Hariosa Lama Zer, Lama Zer Shlachtoni. Why did you do evil to this nation, and why did you send me? And from the time I came to Paro to speak in your name, so he did evil to this nation, and you didn't save this nation, your nation. Okay? So God says, Yom Hashem Moshe, Atta Sira Asher Esel Lefaro, Ki Yechazok Yishalchem, Yechazok Gershem Eretzim. Right? And the answer? I don't know. Okay. So what was... question is, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's problem? Because God told him already before he's not going to let him go. So what did he care? So let him do his shlichus. You go to Paro, and that's it. And God takes care of the rest. Well, what's the problem? Are you better than God's giving you the guarantee? He says you go, and that's it. And I'm taking care of the rest. You just go to all the messages, go to Paro. What's so hard about that? What's there to fight about? What's there to argue about? Go! Just do this action. What's the big problem? So Paro turned out this way. He didn't believe that he didn't have any emunah. So what? Just because Paro got excited, so that's why he should get worried? So what? Paro went crazy. So what? God's telling you that I'm telling you there's going to be Elsus and Mofsum, and that's it. There's nothing to worry about here. So what is he concerned about? Difficult. What? He said, so what's the problem? There was no makas yet. If the makas took place and then it didn't work, then he has a kasha. But there's no makas yet. Nothing was done yet. Nothing was done. Okay. Then the pasuk says, "Vaydabro kima Moshe." Suddenly there's a change of pace. The pasuk says, "After this, atasira shes lefaro ki yochazak yishalchem yochazak gashim atzah." That's it. "Vaydabro kima Moshe v'yemal lavan yashem." Different speech. A whole different thing. God doesn't even address the problem. He just explains that this is a new kind of gilui shechina, which didn't exist by the Avos. The Avos only had Ashgacha, but this is a gilui shechina, which is changing the whole teva, which never happened before. Shmi Hashem lo nadati lohem. You're going to see a different gilui shechina than Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov saw. They saw Kel Shakai. Kel Shakai is Ashgacha. But Shmi Hashem, to change the laws of nature, that never occurred. That only Moshe Rabbeinu is going to witness. And L'kachti is from La'om and the whole thing. Okay, so Moshe Rabbeinu went right away, and he figured he has a few good statements from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Might as well tell the nation about this. And it says, V'lo shamo Moshe. You catch the roch and we'll let it crush it. They didn't listen to him. Okay. Weren't impressed. Okay. Now. Okay, so you think by now that after HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, V'ayir alav and v'sayayir v'kel shakai, and the whole Gilu Shechina explained to him, a different kind of Gilu Shechina. So, all right. So now we understand. Now you should understand, right? So what does Moshe say? Vayoma Moshe lefnei Hashem lemo. Heim b'nei Yisrael lo shama elai. Ve'eich yishmeini fara v'anyar al svasayim. Nachamo. Again, anyar al svasayim. Just explain to him the whole thing. Vayra, lavra, nitsu. The whole gili shechina, this is it. Again, he's still with the same problem. Heim b'nei Yisrael shama elai v'eich yishmeini fara. And then later it says, then of course the Torah interrupts. Eilu roshe v'esav azom. Gives the yichus. The yichus, so far as the shlichus was based upon a whole yichus, okay, and then it comes back. It says, Again, same thing, okay. So then, Rashi says that really is what he said before. It's the same thing. But it's going back to the subject, that's what Rashi says. Okay, fine. So, all right. So we don't understand what his kasha is, what Moshe Rabbeinu's problem is, really. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go and do this action, I'll take care of everything else. You have nothing to worry about. The nisim, the biggest nisim, are going to be going to take place here. Okay? Nope. He's still with the Anir al-Sasayim, and how is Paro going to listen? He's not going to listen. Go just tell him a thing. What do you want? Says, V'yam Hashem Moshe, Re'ei nesaticho Elohim lefaro, V'ar nechicha yin v'yecha. Okay, fine. So now he seems to be okay. Alright. He told him all that. What is new over there? What is new over there? What did he tell him new? Something new. Now he's happy to go on the shlichus. Seems that what is taking place? Okay. Shah's like this, you see. You have to understand. See, the thing is that we look at the incident with Moshe Rabbeinu in an unreal way, kind of an imaginary way. You see, the incident with Moshe Rabbeinu has to be understood in a mature way. You have to understand what exactly was happening there. You see, there's one principle. There is one principle which underlies the entire story. That principle, if you have that principle, then you understand what's happening. See, the principle is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can perform nisus and flows adein mispar. That's what we said, right? Nisus was adein mispar, right? Okay, fine. But there's one thing he doesn't do, and that is to change in any way the Bechira HaAdam HaNushis. Never changes the Bechira or the Manushas. Okay? Doesn't change man's nature. He doesn't change man's nature. The nisus and the flaws can take place in the Bria and the Teva if it's necessary. It's not something that God does because he likes to do it. But there were times when it was necessary and it had to be done. That was Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah. Okay? Had to be done. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed the Bria. Created changes in the Bria. Even there, you see, the changes were still had something to do with the Teva. With the Elah Hashem Ruach Yom Chazat Ma'od and you had Yisrael Sa'arba. Yeah. But you still see traces of Teva there. Not just but it was nice. It was nice. Okay. So at any rate, the thing is, that is all possible. But one thing is impossible. I don't mean impossible in the sense that God can't do it. I mean impossible in the sense that God will not do it, which means to say the possibility doesn't exist. Okay? The same thing. So, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should change the Teva HaAdam. That will never happen. Never did happen and never will happen. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu understood that with all the miracles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can produce, there's one thing that it can't do, and that is it can't affect a person's bechira. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered with the problem, how could I possibly take out, what do you mean take out an umma from Mitzrayim? Just to take them out. Take them out is nothing, so what do you have? You have an umma of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, of Behemoth, and in the Midbar? What good is that? Worthless. Has to be an umma, it's only an umma because of the ideas of the umma, not an umma because it's physically a nation. So Moshe Rabbeinu saw Klal Yisrael was steeped in Memtes Shari Tumah, like the Malachim said by the Yom, Halalu of Devar Azara, Halalu of Devar Azara, why are they different? You see? So he saw he has to take this nation, and he has to reach them, but not reach them through miracles, because miracles aren't going to accomplish anything. He has to reach their personalities. He has to be able to open their eyes to the true ideas. You see? What is the pasuk? The pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu says he's going to go for 3 days. What do you mean 3 days? Did that ever happen? He went for 3 days. He's going to go for 3 days and come back. What was it? Was it a ruse? Was it a joke? No. The pshat was that was really the original plan. The original plan was to make them into a nation. Was to take them out into the midbar for 3 days, and to give them ideas concerning Torah, to take them away from the work, the backbreaking labor, which prevented them from thinking, didn't allow them to have time to think, and give them a time where Moshe Rabbeinu can address them and start talking to the nations, start giving them the basic principles of Yadus. And that was, insofar as that plan is concerned, we don't know how many days it would have been. 3 days, then it was again 3 days, another 3 days, how many days, we don't know how long it would have taken them to do it. But definitely the initial plan was to remove them from the situation of Mitzrayim in order to give them the ideas in order to reach them. So now there was two things. They had to be reached. If you look at the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu by the snare, so it says, the Pasuk says that V'nasati Yescheinu Amazeh Beinu Mitzrayim. V'lo Kiseleichum Osechu Reikon. What is Yescheinu Amazeh Beinu Mitzrayim? It meant that it had to be, in order for the nation to really feel that they're a nation, two things had to take place. One was that to see the true ideas, but there had to be a sociological factor also. They had to be able to have a certain self-respect as a nation and to remove the personal humiliation and degradation of slavery. How was that going to be removed? By the respect that the Egyptians would give to Klal Yisrael, would show towards Klal Yisrael. So in the Yisrael. Without that, they could never be removed from Abdus. See, that's why it says by Bishalach, Bishalach Parasam, they weren't ready for Muhammad yet. And the only Muhammad they were able to wage was not a Muhammad in which they were aggressive, but the Muhammad Samalik, which was self-defense. You see an unbelievable thing by Muhammad Samalik. What was by Muhammad Samalik? It was a strange thing in the Torah. The strangest thing. It says, Moshe Rabbeinu, I still remember as a kid learning that story, I guess. Moshe Rabbeinu, Vahikasher Yor Moshe Yodo, the Gova Yisrael. Right? Vahashe Yaniach, the Gova Molech. Videi Moshe Kvedim. What is a funny story? What is this? So the Mishnah asks, the Chiyodov Shel Moshe Osa Muhammad? Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are doing Muhammad? What is a magical thing? He lifts up his hands and wins. What was it mean? So the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu was really a shliach tzibur. He was mispalel. He was a shliach tzibur. So when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu was only the tefillah, so then they were mechin libam la'avin shra shemayim. So then they had the right ideas. But still, you'll say, so a shliach tzibur, you have to put two rocks on them, a shliach tzibur to hold his hands up. What's the pshat? The pshat is it was necessary at that time because they were avodim. They still, even though they were cherif, but a part of them still was an avdus. That's why they couldn't wage war against another nation aggressively. Only in self-defense, and they had to see Moshe Rabbeinu Omei Betfila. When they saw Moshe Rabbeinu Omei Betfila, that inspired them. That gave them the inspiration. It was still necessary to have that image of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was very important to them. And he was really, they put all their emotional strength in Moshe Rabbeinu. You see that, because what happened by the eagle? Kizeish Moshe, Shalom, Sarim, Le'edan, Amaholo. You see, emotionally, they still needed that strength from a bus of Adam, even though it was Moshe Rabbeinu, but from a bus of Adam. And that's why they had to see that he was Mispalel. But if they didn't see he was Mispalel, so they lost their mood, they lost their courage. That's why the only time he had it was like that, no other time. Okay. So in order to establish the nation, you had to create a people, one, that had the true ideas, and two, that were able to overcome the weakness of slavery, the weakness that slavery imposes on a person, the destructive forces that it causes in a person's character. Okay? So that was the whole process. Turned out it took 40 years to get out of that. But so that was the plan. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, now you understand what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he undertook the mission, it wasn't just to go to Paran and tell him a story. That wasn't the mission. The responsibility that Moshe Rabbeinu placed upon his shoulders was precisely that. It meant that he is going to go to these people who are now in a state of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and he is going to convince them. He's going to convince them about the true ideas concerning God, about their Masorah, and he's going to create a great nation, an intellectual nation. Malachas Kohen in the Goy Kadol, Goy 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 Kadosh, Goy Kadol. How's he going to do this? And he can't do it through miracles. because it cannot be done through miracles. It can't change the human personality. God does not change human personality through miracles. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood this. So he knew that it's something that he has to accomplish himself. This is his responsibility. Not only that, but he also has to convert Paro and the Mitzrim, at least insofar as them being able to accord respect to Klal Yisrael, so that they themselves should have a certain self-esteem. That was the mission, and that's why you see the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not change the Bechira of a bus of a dome goes so far that the Rishonim are burdened. Gemara says, burdened with the fact Vayach Beit Hashem as slave Paro. Well, what's the problem? One person, one Russia. Why can't God change this Russia and control him and cause him to do crazy things? What's wrong? One person, a Russian Russia, one of the Western Shrine. Why? The answer is, it is against God's will to intervene ever with any human being with his Bechira Chafetz. An interesting thing. So therefore, all the nisim that a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do couldn't really help Moshe Rabbeinu on his mission. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to assume the responsibility. It was a tremendous responsibility. It was a realistic responsibility. That's why I said, I can't do this. I'm not an Ish Devarim. I don't have the ability to do this. You're sending me something I can't do. I have to assume responsibility to convince these people. You need somebody who could talk to the people who could do this. I can't do this job. Okay? There's another thing you see. You see the fact that he argued with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That itself sounds wild to us. But anybody argue with Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu came to somebody and said, look, I want you to go and do this. You're going to take Klal Yisrael and you're going to bring them all back to Eretz Yisrael. May Abba come for us. All right. Jump, run, right away. How could Moshe Rabbeinu argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How could he argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? How could Avraham Avinu argue with a Kadosh Baruch Hu? What kind of view? Where do you have people portraying their greatest leader as arguing with their Rabbeinu Shel Olam? It sounds funny. It sounds crazy. What's the answer? The answer is because we don't have the proper notion of Nevuah. We think of Nevuah as like a mystical kind of thing. All of a sudden, boom, he has a prophecy. He's going to run and that's it. There's no such thing. It doesn't work that way. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Bechira Chofshis was never impaired either. A Navi functions normally, just like we function. There's no difference in his nature, in the Navi's nature, when he receives a Nevuah, than a regular person's nature. And so far as his nature, you see there's a Loch of Kovesh Nevuasa. There's an Isra. Navi's not allowed to refrain from giving out his Nevuah. He's not allowed to be kovish nivuasa. What do you mean he's not allowed to be? What kind of? Who needs a look like that? A person who needs a novice is going to kovish nivuasa? Okay, that sounds crazy. How could it be possible? What's the answer? The answer is because the novice is no different than anybody else in that respect. A novice is a person that operates, functions normally. He's not in a mystical state where he ceases to be able to function like a human being and loses bechira. He's not. He functions normally. Moshe Rabbeinu was even pale. Regular Navi is Bachaloma Dababo, but then afterwards he can't do that. Moshe Rabbeinu is pale. So Moshe Rabbeinu, even the Shas is receiving the Nevuah, he's still functioning as a human being. Nothing interfered. Regular Navi, the Shas receives the Nevuah, so he's not. But then later he could do it, he has Bechira. Like Bayona. Same thing. Oh. So what it means is, That's why did Moshe Rabbeinu argue? Why do you have a right to argue? He had a right to argue. Just like a person, just like the whole essence of a person is to understand things through knowledge, the Navi is mechuyev to understand his mission through knowledge. Just like a person learns, just like a regular person learns a piece of Gemara, the Navi learns his Nevuah. If he has a kasha, he has to ask a kasha. If he disagrees, he has to disagree. It's not an abnormal process. That's why the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim says, people don't understand what he means, but he says Nevuah is a natural process. This is a natural process? Sounds funny. That's a natural process. What it means to say is there's nothing abnormal insofar as the human being is concerned when a Navi is receiving Nevuah. So just like if a person's learning a Taisus, a person will say, I'll still learn a Taisus. Taisus a kasha, and it's not Taisus talking about. No, no, no. I believe Taisus. I have to believe Taisus. Taisus a kasha is right kasha. Taisus is right. That's worthless. It's not learning. The same thing with Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu Bishasi receives the Nevuah. He's mechuyev to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu Bishasi receives the Nevuah. He's mechuyev to argue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interferes with the normal function of the human personality. The only difference between a Navi and us is a Navi has a different range, a different sphere of operation that's not open to us. But in that sphere of operation, he functions just like we do in ours. You see? Yes? So therefore, by Bilam, as a matter of fact, Bilam really shows is the exception that proves the rule. Because Bilam really, Bilam wasn't Roy from the Vor. But you see that Bilam really did have some tremendous insight. Noam Bilam b'no Baranim, Hashem machazeh shaka yechazeh nofel ugluy inoyim. So they praise his Mara. But I explained that once. That Bilam HaRasha was not intrinsically Roy from the Vor. He only received the Vor as a means for Klal Yisrael. But since it wasn't a natural process with him, he was overawed by it. And he was overawed by the Nevuah, and because he was a great intellect, he was able to see. But his nature was not that of a Navi, and it only suffered a momentary change because the effect was unnatural. And that's why you see the moment the Nevuah was withdrawn from him, it was a Russian that killed him. Reis Bilam and Bar Hargul Bechara. He returned to his rishis, which shows you that a person can never attain any greatness from an external phenomenon, only from an internal source, where he himself changes his nature. And Bilam never accomplished that. You see? That's why he had a momentary vision. He had a tremendous, he was a great mind, he was a great chacham, there's no question about that. And because of the awe of the awesome situation, he directed his mind towards the perception of God. In that moment he was functioning like a tzaddik. But it was an artificial situation, you see. His mind wasn't really directed towards those things. On the contrary, the Pasuk says, immediately bought Malo Beso Kesavizov. That's what he was really interested in. He wasn't really interested, even though he had a great mind, he wasn't interested in the truth. That's the case of Bilam. Okay. Now you see what Moshe Rabbeinu was complaining about, you see? Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him in advance, he said, in the case of Ryan, it's all wonderful. All the miracles are wonderful. Fine. I don't know how God is going to bring about the miracles, but it's not going to help the situation. My responsibility is not miracles. My responsibility is to change people, to reach Klal Yisrael, and to reach Paro. So he saw that he went the first mission he goes, and what happens? The whole thing collapses worse than before. Because, on the contrary, rather than Klal Yisrael getting closer to him in terms of a leader and being able to even be prone to listening towards him, they hate him. And Paro got wilder. He got crazier. So the whole thing fell apart. That's why he says, Hashem, Lama zeh shlachtani. U'meyaz basi Paro l'dabar b'shmecha heira lama zeh. V'atzel etzalta samacha. The whole thing is crazy. So the whole thing is just the opposite. He wasn't talking about the miracles. The miracles won't help. The miracles won't help. Okay? So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes into... It got worse. Now they have to fight. Yeah, right. More work. It's even worse. And not only that, but the antagonism towards Moshe and Aaron. How can you reach people when they're antagonistic? They hate you already. Despise you. Yerashem Aleichem V'yishbo. Now he's going to reach them. It's bad enough because he wasn't a good speaker. Now they hate him. Personal hatred. Okay. So, at any rate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expands on the fact of the Nisan, that there will be a Gula. And then he says, then Moshe Rabbeinu said, fine, it's all very nice, but it's still no good. Veichi, he says, Hein B'nai Yisrael, one of the ten Kal V'chamas of Terma. He's there. Hein B'nai Yisrael, Hashem my lie. I'm telling them things that they should want to hear, and they didn't listen. Veichi Shmai Lai Paro, so that's totally impossible. Okay. So anyways, so what was the answer? It's interesting. What was the answer? The answer was Vaidam Hashem Moshe Rein Satichol Lumafav Aron Echichi Yen Viecha Atosedaber. So Atosedaber Eis Kol Asher Tzavekov Aron Echichi Dava Paro Shilch Zeis Omeyatzol. He actually slave Paro the basis that says Moshe Beretz Ryan. Okay. Aloyish Malachim Paro again. But over here, the one that gives the what is different between these statements and the ones before, Rashi explains. You see? Rashi explains. Rashi says like this. He says, ואני אקשה מאחר שהרשיע והסרס כנגדי וגולו לפוני שאין נחס רוח בומוס עבודת הלילם לסס לב שלם לשף טוב לי שיסקה של ליבו זה שיסקה של ליבו שקה של ליבו למען הבוס בו אוסוסי וסקירו אס ורוסי וכן מידוסו של הקודש ברוך הוא מייבי פורוניס על האומוס עובדי הלילם כדי שישמו ישרו וירו שנמה, הכרעתי גויים לשם ופינוסם, אמרתי, אך תיריוסם.